bike tourism is everything when a tourist goes on a bike. So it could be a multi-day trip. It could be a day ride. There was a study recently on the European bike tourism market, and it generates about $57 billion a year in Europe. Three quarters of that is just day riders. So that's as if you went to a city in Europe and you went for a week, and one day you decided to rent a bike, go get a meal, all of that stuff. But it'd just be a day ride. And so that's a huge, really lucrative market. But then there are also multi-day tourists who just cruise along, want to see the landscape, want to see towns, want to see historic sites. And then there are people who do bike overnights, one or two night trips. So it's everything. It's a wide spectrum, but it's an increasingly growing market in the U.S. travel and tourism market.
What's the draw? What's the appeal? And I guess that's an obvious question.
Well, it's a combo. The fastest growing segment of the overall travel market is active travel. So that's kayaking, biking, hiking, walking. People want to get active. You see it especially with the boomer generation. You see it with millennials. You see it all across the age spectrum. People want to get out and not just sit there while they're going around and seeing things. So being able to combine an activity where you're getting out there and being physically fit and then seeing great things is just a wonderful way to travel. A number of states are doing economic impact studies right now. Oregon did one, saw that they're generating nearly $500 million a year from bike tourism. The state of Wisconsin did a study, and they found that they were generating nearly $1 billion a year in related to bike tourism, from day trips to multi-day trips. And the amazing thing was, in Wisconsin, they found that this was competing with ice fishing, with deer hunting. So they said all of a sudden, whoa, this is a serious economic sector.
And it's not just that these bike tourists are spending money. I understand they tend to spend a little more than the average bear.
They do. We found in Montana, a study was done recently at the University of Montana, found that the average bike tourist who's doing a multi-day tour is spending about $75 a day, whereas the average tourist is spending closer to $60 a day. The reason is you don't have the capacity to carry a lot of stuff with you when you're on a bike. So you're going to stop more, you're going to buy more, you're going to need that emergency purchase. So if you're in a station wagon, you can carry a lot of that stuff. When you're on a bike, not so much.
And the question is, are Montana businesses picking up on this?
They are just starting. We've had some excellent meetings with the Department of Commerce and Travel Montana, and also with the director of the Department of Transportation, Mike Tooley, who's been very open to learning about how Montana can improve its roads and trails to provide a great cycling experience for visitors.
What does that mean, improving?
It depends. Some people want trails, and so one of the coolest things that's going to happen in the next year is the construction of a segment of trail between Lolo and Missoula, and that is going to create a world-class destination, in my opinion. It's going to be a 50-mile nonstop trail from downtown Missoula to Hamilton, and that is going to be an awesome experience for families, for people who don't want to mix it up with traffic. For those who are more experienced, they may want to go out in those highways. The main thing is that there aren't rumble strips getting in the way of the cyclist, that rumble strips don't take over the shoulder, that when there's an opportunity to redo a road out in the countryside, that they create a decent shoulder with good pavement without the really bumpy chip seal. So those are really simple things, but boy, when you add them all up, then Montana's going to get known as a major cycling destination.
I understand the Flathead Valley business owners are really starting to capitalize on this.
They are. We're seeing several new businesses. Whitefish Bike Resort has been established in the last year. We're seeing some other folks up in Big Fork appealing to bike tourists. And again, what they're doing is they're either creating themselves as a base camp, so people will stay there multiple days and then just go do day rides from there, or they'll be a way station for the traveling cyclist who's coming through.
And bikes and beer?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was a major finding in the study, but you can just see it with all the craft breweries here. They really go together. And increasingly, we're going to see, I think, with that Bitterroot Trail from Missoula to Hamilton, you could see an awesome 2 or 3 day trip. I think you can go by about a dozen breweries, and it only takes 50 miles one way, 50 miles back. We just always tell people, you know, same as with driving, just be careful when you're drinking and biking. I'm hopeful that many of the bike shops here, because we also have like 8 or 9 bike shops in Missoula, will start to offer more rentals and take advantage of this. We've already seen the Holiday Inn in downtown Missoula a couple of years ago began to offer cruiser bikes for people who just want to tool around the town. But I think if they offered some, you know, more performance-oriented bikes with gears and better brakes, I think people will take advantage of that and get around town and the valley.
Jim, before we started talking, you showed me an interesting map. You talked about how there are similarities between cycling and hunting and other outdoor activities in Montana.
Yeah, when you look at hunting, fishing, people really get out there. I love that slogan from Travel Montana, get lost. And they're really trying to get people out into the countryside, into the small communities. Most tourism tends to hover right around the interstates in the big cities. But in Montana, what we saw with the survey on bicyclists coming through is that they tend to go to a lot of the smaller communities. And some of them are taking advantage. Twin Bridges, population, I think, 400. They decided to try and attract more cycle tourists. So they carved off a tiny piece of their fairground, created a shower and a shelter, offered it for free to visiting cyclists. Word got out. Cyclists stopped. They began to use the facility. And in the first year, they donated about $10,000. They put out a coffee can. Cyclists donated $10,000. The cost of the project was $9,000. So they got the cyclists to stop. They spent the night. They went to the hardware store, the local restaurant. So everything else was gravy. So, again, you're seeing cyclists take advantage of these small towns, and they, frankly, love stopping there and meeting people because, you know, the bike is one of the friendliest vehicles ever created. People want to know your story, where you're coming from, where you're going. So one of the routes we've created is along the High Line, and we hear all the times from members and from cyclists how much they enjoy going along what we call the Northern Tier through Glacier and then out into eastern Montana. And those are some of the most memorable experiences, stopping in these small towns.
Boy, that'd be a windy ride, huh?
Sometimes. We get asked, that's like our number one question is, which way should I ride across the United States, east or west? Which way does the wind blow?
Yeah.
And we tell them it shifts.
Yeah, right. National Tourism and Travel Week.
Yeah, this was established by Congress about 30 years ago to celebrate the tourism industry. It's one of the biggest in the U.S. It's about $2 trillion overall. And in Montana, it's one of our biggest industries along with agriculture. So I think it generates about $3.2 billion a year.
These are real dollars you're talking about.
This is a huge deal. It's a big industry for Montana. And what was exciting about the study of bicycle tourism is that Norma Nickerson and her crew, she's the director of the Institute on Tourism here at University of Montana, found that this market, this bike tourism market, could generate up to $370 million a year if it was properly promoted. So when you consider that's equal to almost 10% of the existing Montana tourism market, there's a lot of potential there.
And then further compound that by the limited window of opportunity that cyclists have in Montana, the average cyclist.
Yeah.
And there are the hardcores out there.
Yeah. Well, just to say, one of the other cool things that's happening that we've been promoting too are fat bikes. And some people may have seen these. They're like Popeye bikes. They have 4-inch tires. They look a little cartoonish, but they are super fun. You can ride them on ice and snow. And increasingly, places like Idaho are promoting these as a winter option. And, you know, one other indicator for us of the popularity of both mountain biking and what's called bikepacking, and then also snow bike tourism, is we just put out our latest route about a month ago, Idaho Hot Springs Mountain Bike Route. It's a fantastic 500-mile loop in central Idaho, connects Ketchum, Sun Valley, Boise, Salmon. We sold out that first printing of maps in about 3 weeks, and we already have a second printing. But it's mostly on gravel road, has some single track, but you can use it through spring, summer, fall. Really exciting to see the enthusiasm for this kind of cycling.
Other thing I wanted to talk about, and of course I left the information back in my office, the Adventure Cycling's Bike Route System campaign.
Oh, the United States Bicycle System, Bicycle Route System, USBRS. Right now, states across America are developing an official interstate bike system similar to the interstate highway system, but in this case for bikes, primarily on county roads, country roads, trails. But we now have 41 states working to establish this U.S. bike route system. We've established, designated, signed about 6,000 miles of routes around the U.S., and we have 5 more states that are going to create new routes this May. Mostly it's using existing facilities, but the signage and the mapping are being funded either by private sources or in some cases by state departments of transportation. Missouri just did something great. They funded the signage of U.S. Bike Route 76, which is actually Adventure Cycling's Transamerica route. And they did the whole thing this last year, so it's exciting. You'll actually have signage. They'll tell you how to go on the route. So it's exciting to see states stepping up to take advantage, again, of bike tourism.
Where do you see cycling in the next 10, 15 years as, say, baby boomers start to age maybe out a little bit?
Well, It's an interesting phenomenon in the market, because somebody was telling me about the housing market, how boomers and millennials, the people in their 20s and early 30s, are actually converging on their housing preference. A lot of them are looking to live more in town, more convenient, not have so many cars, be able to walk and bike a lot more. And we're seeing it in the travel market too. More people are beginning to say, we want this active travel market. So biking is growing as an activity. People are doing it more. We're seeing it in Montana's towns, just in Billings. And I was amazed to see how many people were biking around town. They're creating some great trails there. I just rode on the rims. Amazing trails, beautiful views of the valley and the river. So I see it happening all over Montana and all over the nation.
Jim, I always ask you this to wrap up. Spring, summer, warming up here. Well, it will be soon, hopefully. Your advice for cars and bikes, how to each play nice with one another, because I see each do things that maybe isn't so cool sometimes.
Yeah, all I can encourage people to do is just ride politely, take it easy, enjoy the ride, whether you're in a car or on a bike, because sometimes people get too impatient as to where they're going, and they realize that that's the number one reason you're going to jeopardize somebody else. Stay on the facilities that are meant for you, whether it's a bike lane or a separated bike lane, or if you're in the road, just be really careful, cautious as a cyclist, and then realize as a driver that bicyclists have full rights to the road. They should behave responsibly, and I think people are learning that. And the other cool thing I've seen in Missoula is, for the first time, I think we're going to have a major separated bicycle lane facility on Russell Street when they start building that road next year, I believe.
Jim Sayer, Executive Director, Adventure Cycling Association, Missoula-based organization. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.